Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi everyone, I'm Patrick Beja and you're listening to the Fearless Club for October 26, 2008. Pinko Nut Jobs. Hello and welcome everyone to the Fearless Club, the show where we talk about world news and world events from everywhere around the world. And we try to have fun doing it. I think we're going to have a lot of fun today because we have, well, of course, we have Turkey, who is kind enough to come back. He is talking to us from Saudi Arabia. How are you, Turkey?
I'm well, thank you.
You were talking about the fact that you might go to Dubai last month. Are you there yet?
No, I'm not there yet. I'm still working on it.
Yeah, you were telling me that the process was frustrating, and I guess it's the same for everyone everywhere, right? Administration.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But you're still planning on trying to go, right?
Yep, working on it.
Good luck for you there. And the other thing I'm really enthusiastic about today is the fact that we have Brian. Brian Hess is on. Is that the correct pronunciation for your name, Brian?
Yes.
Okay. So Brian Hess is, let's just say it right now. Don't be scared, people listening. He is a Republican. Oh my
dun, dun, dun.
God. So I actually met Brian in Las Vegas in August when we were at the new Media Expo. And we had a really great conversation, and a bunch of conversations actually, where I guess I was surprised that you were making a lot of sense. And I know
wait a minute, Patrick. Wait a minute. Are you by any chance moving to the dark side?
No, that's none
of. Well,
that
was my plan.
So you know, it's sort of funny to even say that, and I know that some people might take offense to the idea, but I think it's true on both sides. People who are a little bit liberal sometimes don't really understand how Republicans can have the ideas that they have. And I think on the opposite side, too, Republicans often don't really understand how, you know, dirty hippies can think what they think and support these ideas. So I really wanted to have you on this month, Brian.
Yeah, we prefer the term pinko nut jobs for them, so...
Well, there you go. It's going to be good spirited humor. I hope no one is offended by what we say, but we can take it on both sides. Exactly. But yeah, the reason why I was really glad to have you on, especially today, was the fact that it's the last show before the election in the U.S., and we're probably going to be talking a lot about McCain, Palin, and Obama, and Biden, of course. And I wanted to have the voice of someone who could defend McCain and not be completely biased. So,
the voice of reason. Yes.
Obama.
So, thanks a lot for coming on, Brian. And maybe.
My pleasure.
Maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourself so that the listeners can know where you're coming from.
I was. Actually, I'm a born and raised in Las Vegas, a Las Vegas native, which is rare. And but just you know, I've been in the military. I worked in for the federal government and federal law enforcement position. Right now, I have my own security business. We do the security guard, the private investigation, and process server.
So you get to meet lots of famous people.
I did in my previous vision. Yeah, and I worked at a hotel, at a big 5-star hotel, for a number of years, and I ran into a bunch of different people, including the top candidates in the presidential election. I got to meet them while I was working there.
Cool. That's awesome. Can you tell us how it went? Were they like completely different from the way they were on they appear on TV?
Well, when I met McCain, he was all by himself, and I just kind of, you know, escorted him up to his room, and you know, he just got a regular room. He's a real nice guy. He was you know, like I said, he didn't put on any airs. There was no one else with him. It was just him, you know.
So was that Republican propaganda is working right now?
No, this was actually a couple of years ago before he was even going to run. And I told him at the time, I go, well, I hope you run. You know, he's like, well, you know, he said, well, we'll looking for it, you know, looking to it, you know.
So. Cool.
Obama, when Obama was just, that was just like a rock star because everybody was all over him. It was, you know, everyone was just going crazy, you know, really.
When was
it was
that?
Like the Beatles. That was actually during the Nevada primaries here this last summer. I think it was like June.
Okay.
When he showed up at our hotel and stuff. Cool.
Good. Well, then I guess you'll be a more of an expert than any of us to say what you think about those the candidates. And you know what? We're going to talk about a lot about this, so let's just get into it. Let's just get into it right now.
Sure.
With the international news. So, of course, the international news is going to come from the U.S. I think we have two big topics today, the main one being the election. And I'd like to say one thing about this, the U.S. election. I did use Twitter to comment a little bit on the election, and I got, you know, a little bit of support, people thinking that it was a good thing that I would talk about the election. And that I would, you know, voice my opinion. And some people were a little bit, not disappointed, but I guess irked by the fact that I would talk about, you know, politics on Twitter, where I'm supposed to be a World of Warcraft geek, essentially.
Okay.
And some people also were a little bit disappointed because, well, not angry because I'm not in the U.S. and maybe I wouldn't have anything to say about this because, you know, I shouldn't have my say. I was talking about Palin specifically, and you know what? It's the fact is two things. First of all, I think the U.S. elections has an impact on the whole world, so it's perfectly relevant for anyone to say what they want, even if they didn't.
Yeah, I agree.
You know. Even if it didn't impact the whole world, actually. And another thing I would like to say is that it's no reason because you're not specifically into politics. Well, I have this show, so I'm also into politics and news. But even if you're not, it's okay to talk about politics on Twitter or anywhere. I know that there is a strong idea that you shouldn't talk about politics or religion if you want to have, you know, a pleasant conversation.
Right.
And to some extent, I agree, you wouldn't talk with anyone about all those things, but you can also have an intelligent conversation, which, you know, I hope we're going to have today, disagree on some things, and still be friendly and, you know, polite. So I hope that's...
Well, that's a little more rare right there, so... You know, to have the conversation where it's, you know, everyone, you know, is well-mannered and but just disagree, you know.
Yeah, I understand strong emotions, and it might, yeah, it is difficult. I know that it's not for everyone, but yeah, I hope we can, you know, I
enjoy
keep
it anyway.
Civil. Oh, I'm sure today we're not gonna, you know, if you storm out and like leave the call and go like, you bunch of idiots, well, you know, maybe it will make my ratings go up, so please do that. Drama is always good. If you can get into like,
what do you want me to Rush Limbaugh it up or something?
That would be good.
You know,
that would be,
you
awesome.
Know, O'Reilly, you know, start calling you guys pinheads or something. You know,
and you know what? That's probably a very good way to start the conversation. I'd like to know where you stand on two things, so that we can know your political background. We both probably all know that Turkey and I are not very happy about the way President Bush conducted his 8 years of presidency. And I'd also like to talk about Fox News because we think they are very partisan. So I'd like to know where you stand on those on both of those issues.
Would I stand on Bush, or how do I feel the...
Well, on Bush, what do you think about his presidency and also about Fox News in general?
Well, I like Bush. I mean, you know, I can't say that everything he's done I've been, 100% behind. But overall, you know, I think he's had a pretty decent a presidency. Of course, the mess right now with the economy, you know. Mm-hmm. He deserves some blame for that. I mean, you know, certainly, you know, it's on his watch and stuff. But, you know, there's only so much a president can do. And, you know, really, when it comes to things like that, you know, and the roots of the whole economic thing, you know, both sides, you know, of the aisle can take blame for that here.
Sure.
And when it comes to Fox, I like Fox. I watch it all the time. You know, I believe me, when I turn my, you know, it, so, I think a lot of people like me, the one of the reasons we like Fox is because when we watch almost any other media outlet, it's always so skewed to a left point of view. And I think the most aggravating point of that is that they never admit that. You know, the people on those shows and the other networks admit that they're liberal.
They won't. Okay.
Yeah, the other networks like CNN, MSNBC, we're being objective. I'm like, no, you're not. You know.
So your argument would be that the other ones are skewed toward the Democrats and Fox is skewed towards the Republican, or Fox is
a little more. Yeah, but I think Fox actually. I mean, when I watch the networks, and this is my opinion, I'm sure a lot of people would disagree with me. Fox does really try to do a job of balance, fair and balance, and you know that's their tagline, and I think they do a better job at that than I would say whenever I watch CNN or MSNBC. You know, when it's just all on one end, you know, the seesaw is just, you know, tilted so far it never comes back.
Even people like Bill O'Reilly, who has such a strong, you know, opinion.
Well, he's a commentator. He's, you know, he's not journalist. You know, he's not. You know, so he's there for the commentary. Plus, he doesn't always agree with the president or the Republican line or anything like that. So I don't always agree with him either. So, you know.
Okay. Well, I'm sure that would be a whole conversation unto itself. But
certainly.
We should probably move on to the actual news of the election. And I guess what happened in the past month is that what happened was a couple of debates since last month. And the fact that Obama seems to be taking a lead in the poll, and the idea that Palin was maybe not the best choice after all for McCain. So to talk about the way we see it in France, we are, of course, heavily skewed towards Obama. There's no denying that. You know, we are to the left of Obama even. So there's
really in France.
Oh, yeah. What? Are you being sarcastic? Well, you know, we are, as I keep saying, socialists. And Obama is even to the right of our political scene. So there's really no choice for us. It would be like betraying our country to be for McCain. I'm sure there are a couple of people who are for McCain, but they hide. about Palin, we had a poll recently on one of the websites for one of the major newspapers, and it's nothing, you know, very representative of the general population, but I'm sorry, the question that was asked was, it was on Le Figaro, for the people who follow. It was, did McCain make a mistake in choosing Palin as his running mate? And there were about 11,000 answers up to this point, and 80% of the people said that it was a mistake to choose Palin. So I guess that would be my introduction on how we see the election from France. Right. What do you guys? How do you guys see it? Maybe we'll let Turkey go first, and then Brian can tell us how it goes for you.
From which point of view?
From Saudi Arabia. Are you? How do you see the election, the race going?
All right. The problem here is, this is something I try to explain a lot. We in Saudi Arabia, we have something like the same problem you're having in France. We are a conservative country here. So we would love to support McCain. But we've seen enough trouble from Bush that nobody here is willing to take a chance again on a Republican. They rather have Obama than to have McCain. And then the whole thing about Palin and all of her speeches where she emphasizes on her being a conservative and a religious Christian. And all of those things are just hurting more and more because a lot of people are seeing, like, the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, and so on, as the crusades, Christian crusades against Muslims. So it's really, is everybody here, I would say it would be impossible for me to meet a single person in this country that would say, I wish for McCain to win.
Is that a feeling that's shared in the Arab world? You mean seeing them as the crusade is a pretty strong strong way of wording it. Is that a feeling that's shared?
To be honest, Bush did say that word after 9/11. He did say it, we're declaring a crusade. So apparently that's stuck in everybody's head. And this is the entire Arab world and most likely a majority of the Islamic world.
How do you guys see Obama for himself? Like, he's a black man. Although, you know, I've never understood why someone who is half or even a quarter black is considered a black man. Even if he's more white than black. But anyway, that's another issue. How do you guys see it? See him? He's a black man. He had a foreigner for a father, and
We don't live in Saudi Arabia. I always try to talk about this on my website, also in my podcast. We do have racism in this country. However, our racism comes to the social point. So Obama, he could be a president, but he could never marry from a tribe. So it's something like that. He could be president, they don't worry about it. He could be prime minister, whatever, but nobody from a well-known tribe would let them allow him to marry one of their daughters.
Oh, so you mean if Obama was living in Saudi Arabia, he could become president, but the social, the racism would prevent him from marrying into a different social class because he's black.
Exactly.
Okay, I get it. I see. So you see him with, like, still a little bit of, a little bit of racism in the image that he projects?
I don't know about the image that he projects here, but I'm saying if he was in Saudi Arabia, that's the way he would. It's just, this is the way people in Saudi Arabia react. They really don't care about your position, where you go, how they would vote for you, whether you're black or if they believe what you're doing. It's just on the social aspects. They would never allow to be socializing on the marriage level.
Okay. He's still a Christian, though. Doesn't that worry you because of the whole religion issue?
Well, nobody. It's not like we can pick a Muslim to take command of the country. So it's what you say. We are picking the lesser evil in our point of view.
Wow. Okay. So you mean if there was a Muslim who was, that would be science fiction, but running for president in the U.S., he would automatically get the support of Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
Okay. I guess that's a good way to transition to Brian's point of view. There were reports that, I think a lot of people think that he's a Muslim or a terrorist. I'm talking about Obama, of course. What do you make of that in your own, party?
I've only met one person that said something like that, and I was like, I looked at him. They said that, he's a Muslim. You know that he swore on the Quran when he he got in the Senate, and I was like, I go, I don't think that's true. I'm like, I don't believe that. I go, the only person I remember doing it, there was a Democratic congressman in the House of Representatives. He did that, and he actually took the oath on a Koran that had been owned by Thomas Jefferson. But he, as far as I know, he was the only one that's ever done that. But yeah, once in a while, I run into it, but most people, I haven't heard it as an issue really, you know, that it's just some kind of, you know, urban legend thing that some people throwing around, and it's like, you know, they say it and you look at them like, what, you know?
So do you think it would be an issue though, if it was true, if he was a Muslim, or if he chose to swear on the Quran? Maybe not for you.
Oh, if he was a Muslim, definitely it would probably be an issue. It would certainly.
But in any case, he can't even run for president if he's a Muslim. It's against the Constitution.
Is it?
No, yes. It's not.
It's not. I don't think
this.
It is. See, no, there not. You go, spreading FUD.
he only has to be a natural born U.S. citizen and 39 or older. That's the qualifications for president.
Hey, yeah. I'm just trying to spread whatever we think in this country.
But really, that's interesting. You think that maybe in Saudi Arabia, people would think that someone cannot run for presidency in the U.S. if he's not a Christian?
Oh, I'm not. I don't think I know for a fact.
Really? But in Saudi Arabia, though, I'm pretty sure you couldn't run for public office if you were, if you weren't a Muslim.
You can't be a Saudi citizen if you're not a Muslim.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess it makes sense.
So we don't have that problem.
Okay. So anyway, Brian, what do you make of what happened in the past few weeks with the debate and the way that the campaign has been getting a little bit more negative? The story with Acorn that supposedly tried to register people who didn't exist.
They did register people that didn't. That one was kind of funny. And actually, that one, their Acorn office here in Las Vegas was raided actually by the feds. I guess they had signed up registered people, fictitious names and number, and also the the starting lineup for the Dallas Cowboys football team registered here. So. Acorn has a somewhat dubious history on registering. I'm sure they register people, good people too. But in the last election cycle up in King County, Washington, they ran into problems up there too that they were manufacturing votes.
Well, what I heard though is that the way it works is that you're bound by law to send the registration of everyone, and then they decide who is actually a valid voter and who is bogus, and that's the way that this rumor or story started.
Right. Yeah. That's true. But the part of it is too is that, you know, they send in so many registrations to get people in. If you send so many in, there's bound to some that are going to slip through the cracks because they're going to have to be manually checked and things like that. So, like I said, Acorn has a history of doing this. It's not though this is something new, So, plus there's the Democrats have they don't want people to have to show ID when they go to vote. That's really? They're against that.
What?
Yeah.
How can that be?
That's a party position.
That the voters shouldn't have to. What do they say? They just show up and
show
say,
photo
"I'm,
ID.
I'm Brian, and I'm here to vote, and you shouldn't have to show any ID."
Right.
That's insane.
That's the motor voter law.
Wow. Okay. That's very strange. Why would they
get that change? But
why would they choose to do that?
Why would the Democrats do it? Because of that their claim is that some people can't afford to get picture IDs and that would deny them the vote. That's their position. That's one of their positions on that. Whereas in a lot of states will give someone who can't easily afford an ID. They usually cost like $10 you know, something like that, that they'll give it to them for free.
Shouldn't you have an idea, an ID anyway? I mean, aren't you supposed to have an ID with you, like at least in your house?
Yeah, you know, here you should have one, but it's not like a requirement. Not like when you are in Europe. Yeah, I know. When I was stationed over there, you know, everyone has one. You know, so
by law, Americans don't need an ID card, a national ID card. So, although they're trying to impose it right now.
Okay, so I guess, well, that's one of the most ridiculous things I've heard ever. Like, not to have an ID to vote is, I don't know, I think it's pretty silly.
I agree. It just seems simple common sense to me, no matter which party affiliation you would be in, that you think that you just want people that are the real person to show up to vote.
Of course. Imagine the chaos to Yeah. Anyway,
that's part of the problem with the Acorn thing when they're starting to couple that. You know, it's like, you know, hey, I'm Tony Roma. I'm here to vote. You know, so you know.
And when you're registered someone who doesn't exist, then you can send anyone without an ID to actually be go and vote. So that would be of course. Well, that's ridiculous. Anyway, I think we'll agree on that. But what I mean is that. You do. You don't think the campaign has been going negative?
Oh, for McCain, yeah, he's gone a little negative. And I mean, not overly. I mean, both sides are hitting each other. I don't see. Actually, although I don't think it's gone. It certainly hasn't been as negative as the Kerry and Bush campaign. That was a lot more negative. You don't see the other splinter groups putting out as many ads as they did the last election cycle on both sides. You had the Swift Boat people on the right, and then you had like the MoveOn.org. I haven't seen as many of those kind of commercials on TV. You know, once in a while, you know, I'll see something, but not as much. Okay. It's not as negative as it was last cycle, though.
Do you think McCain is more of President Bush or not? I guess not, but...
He's what?
More of President Bush, because here in France and apparently in Saudi Arabia, we think maybe even if he's not exactly the same, Republicans have had their chance for 8 years. Maybe it's time to try something else.
Well, you have to look at it too. McCain is actually a more moderate Republican.
Maybe he was 8 years ago.
Well, I mean, I don't see. Yeah, I mean, he agrees with. He's agreed with Bush in Iraq, but he has taken different positions and he has set his own course on many different issues. Actually he bucked the president. I mean, from the get go at Iraq, he was saying, put more troops in there.
Yeah.
So he bucked that. And then he put in the campaign finance, with Russ Feingold and, which I didn't think was going to work, and it really didn't work, and he agrees that it doesn't work. So,
I guess that brings up a point, which is why didn't Bush listen to the people who knew what they were doing? But that's really a different point, so let's not get too much into it. I guess, though, it brings me to something else, which is, do you guys feel like the neoconservatives and the religious right stole the Republican Party from the traditional Republican Party, which is an idea that's been, you know, touted more and more in the past few months, and which also brings me to Sarah Palin and the fact that she might be a bid for McCain to win that Republican, you know, that neoconservative fringe.
Well, he certainly needed that help to help cement that end of the party, because his credentials for the Christian right weren't that great. So you know, he had railed against I was just listening to an excerpt from a speech he gave in South Carolina when he ran in 2000, and he was basically putting down far left or, you know, rabble rousers like Farrakhan and Dal Sharpton. And then he went right in his next breath was, and on the right, you know, Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson, you know, they're no good for us, and da 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 da.
See, so, that's the McCain that I think was very appealing to a large majority in the center.
Right, right. And I think for the, like I said, but that's why he got Palin, because a lot of people still remember that. And in his actual positions on a lot of on a number of issues, like, you know, are more middle of the road, than, you know, people on the Christian right would care to have, you know.
So. Torture. Don't forget torture.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that the other thing too, yeah. So he's been consistently against anything like that. So.
Well, yeah, I guess his personal history is a testament to the fact that.
Yeah, exactly.
So to talk back more about Palin, what do you think of her?
I like her.
Oh my God. Really?
Yeah.
Patrick, can we kick him out now?
Yeah, see?
Please.
Okay.
I really think a lot of people, I mean, I have to say that the press coverage on her has been just so completely negative, and it's been kind of a shock.
She can see Russia from her border.
Yeah.
Like, that's an actual... You know, the problem with Palin is not that she's inexperienced, or although, you know, that might be a problem, but it's the fact that she doesn't make a lot of sense a lot of the time.
Well, of course, you're seeing snippets and, you know, and cutouts there. Have you seen Biden's gaffes in his most recent one?
I've heard about it. I can't remember what it was exactly.
But he's saying he's saying, as a student of history, he can pretty much predict that within 6 months of a Obama presidency, some major crisis will occur because Obama was elected as president.
Well,
someone test him, you know, and it's just kind of like,
well, that might be a gaffe.
Are you on?
But wait a second, Brian. If even though it might be a gaffe, it might also be an accurate analysis of the situation. You know, if let's imagine that terrorists like Al-Qaeda might want to encourage actions like Bush's actions, like to foment war and conflict. Who are they, you know, are they going to make it easy for someone like Obama? They're going to try to get the Republicans back.
Well, it'll be tested, definitely. But that doesn't, I agree that would probably happen, but I'm not saying that he was wrong. I'm not saying that he was wrong, you know, factually about saying it. I agree with that statement. The problem is that that's what Republicans have been saying.
Well, I guess, but you know, so that's not what I was talking about Palin. I agree. Maybe he shouldn't have said it for political reasons, and you know, it's not the best thing. But what I was saying about Palin is that. I feel strongly about her because I think McCain might not make it through the next 4 years if he's elected. I really don't wish him any harm, but you know,
right.
Anyone is in danger of, you know, having a problem all the time, and he's even more in danger. So we could end up with her as a president, and I say we as the world, the president of the world.
You know, you should look at the good
worried.
Thing
I'm
about
really
Trump becoming
about
president, Patrick.
What is that?
It could be the end of the U.S.
Well, see, I don't see that as a good thing at all. I have a very strong belief. Maybe that doesn't come out very, very clearly in my usual rantings, but I have a very, very strong faith in the U.S. and the American way of life. And I think what happened in the last eight years was a detriment to the U.S. and that it gave an excuse to the people who don't like the U.S. to you know, bang on it, on the country and
right.
on the... And I think that... Palin could take the country in an even more dangerous direction because, I mean, come on. Honestly, you think she would do a good job as the president? You really think so?
Well, you know, I know the job is that they have to be, you know, she has to have to get in there. But I'll be honest, I'm not as concerned with McCain dropping dead. You know, it's just, you know, the last time it happened was... you know, was when Kennedy got assassinated, and you know,
sure.
we had Reagan in there, and I don't know. It's not as much of a concern as her. Although, you know, I'll be honest, I'd rather have her in than Biden. You know, just policy wise, and you know,
Please explain to me how it would be better to have her than Biden.
Well, just because I think she's more in touch with people as a whole, and she's been a good governor.
The fact that she's more in touch with people, like, that gives
her credentials? I mean, she's more on the ground floor. Biden's been, you know, he's not been in Washington for so many years, and it's just some of the things he does. I'm always like, you know, and I respect him. You know,
Brian, how is she more in touch with people? And look, I'm going to say this just in the beginning. I actually like McCain. If she didn't pick Palin, I might have actually supported him. But Palin is, no offense, an idiot. And how is she in touch with people? Which is, I really don't understand. When she goes around and she picks people and she tells you are real Americans and the liberals are not.
That's, you know... The fact that she's in touch with people, she might be, because, you know, she's a folksy kind of woman.
Right. Sure. That's what I'm getting at on that.
But how is that a good thing? That's what the Republicans have been saying. I don't want someone like me to run my country. I want someone who's more intelligent. Seriously. I want someone who knows how the politics work and how the government works and who studied something in you know, college, and who was a professor or who knows the law or whatever, someone who's intelligent, someone who's clever. And the fact that she made that speech where she said, you know, in this I can't remember where it was, but she was saying, in these, we have the small town America where we have the real values and the real people and the real America. Right. And the other ones, I mean, that was disgraceful, honestly. It's divisive. And how dare she say that those small town values are better than the big town values? That's pandering, and that's don't you think? I mean, aren't you all Americans, and shouldn't you all be?
We are all Americans, yeah. But it's a campaign. I mean, she's playing to the crowd there, and you know, of course, people in small towns, you know, we're real, you know, because you know she's contributing, because you know there's a big cultural, you know, rift or divide, I should say, between like what the, you know, people on the extreme coast, the East Coast and the extreme West Coast, what they do, and between, and then all the other states in between, you know, in general, not always specifically, not always, but in general, there's kind of a cultural divide there. So,
but don't you want someone who's from maybe not a big city, but at least who's studied and who, you know, who's clever and intelligent and who reads the newspaper? And don't you want someone like that?
Or in my own opinion, someone who actually would research something before deciding on it, instead of going reading the Bible and deciding what they're going to do?
I say when people get in those positions, you know, the decision-making process, I'm sure, would be much more complicated than just opening up the Bible or whatever. And she, you know, that's, like I said, part of her charm or whatever for McCain was to solidify support from the Christian right and to energize those people to get them out to vote.
But you don't think she's one of those people?
You have to look in the prism of that. This is a campaign. And people say things. I mean, because to be honest, you guys seem to completely miss everything that Biden says, because Biden is just a gaffe machine every day.
Please tell us.
Well, even during the debate, I thought she did better, at least factually, because he was coming up, you know, with these odd facts and stuff, and where you're looking like, what? You know, that's not true.
Like what?
I can't remember right now. I'm sorry.
Hey, Brian, that's what happens when you talk to a Democrat.
Okay, let's talk about this. Oh, you have one?
No, please, go ahead.
The debate when she was like winking and going all, what was it? She said, it was Katie Couric's interview, though, where she was like, I'll find one and I'll get back to you. And like, I'll get back to ya. And like winking, and don't you think that's going too far?
Yeah, that was a terrible interview. Oh, that did not go well. Yeah,
but even even in the debate, he was winking and being all folksy and like, isn't that obviously like, you know, trying to seduce Handling? People with charm instead of, you know, actual political discourse?
You mean brains?
I'm sorry? The brains, yeah. Okay, I guess we're not going to convince anyone, but maybe we should probably move on. We've been on this for...
Well, like I said, I don't know. There are things about her I like, though. I mean, you know, I like what she did when she started governing. She sold the jet there. She cut costs. You know, there's like some well, she's done...
Come on.
She did
Brian, she sold the jet, and then she started flying with her kids everywhere, mm-hmm. and the government and the state was paying for it.
Well, yeah.
So, well, and she takes her kids to official parties. They're not invited, and the state pays for their trip.
Well, it's like the first. That's like the state's first family, or something like that. But you got to look at it too with Alaska. The state capital of Alaska is landlocked. You can only get to the capital either by boat or plane.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I'm just having a problem. She sold the jet, and she's still taking her kids. On paid by the state, and they're going right. on vacations.
Okay.
Well not they're not officially
still
vacations.
Money. Still save money more than that by selling the jet. She'll spend less money.
No, what he's saying is that she had the state pay for their family vacation. Is what he's saying.
Well,
we heard about. Well, for the trip.
Well, I don't want to put words in my mouth. It's a vacation. It's an official vacation. She actually went to work, but she took them. They were having the vacation while she was working.
Sure.
Yeah. I guess that's an example. That's one example, which, you know, maybe you can find some for every candidate, maybe some little, but. I'm not sure that's exactly what matters the most. What matters to me is the fact that her character isn't, you know, worries me for the position that she's applying for. But
yeah, she's very unknown. I mean, you know,
no, that's not. You know, when you don't know someone, you listen to what they say in interviews and stuff like that, and that's how you know them. That's how you make your decision. And what she's been saying, what she's shown to me, is that she doesn't have a grasp on anything political or social. Or the only thing I've heard is, yeah, I like the small town values and the folks from, you know, the real America.
Right.
I don't see what Republicans can base their choice on with her other than things that are worrying to liberals and maybe inconsequential to anyone else.
Well, you know, like I said, we've had a lot of presidents from small towns. Harry Truman comes to mind, you know, from a small town in, I think it was Hannibal, Missouri. You know, we've had those people that have gotten in the positions, but that aside, as far as, like, you know, her taking over, I think people make a little, I think you just, there's a little too much hay made over that. I just don't see her, you know, I don't see, you know, I think McCain would make it through 4 years, to be honest, and that the, you know, that her, you know, realistically becoming, you know, president would be extremely low.
That can't stop you from, you know, when you perceive it as a real problem if she was president. I mean, if she's meh, then you can say, well, whatever, never mind. But if you think that she's really a problem, and you were saying that Truman was a small town president, sure, that might be. I don't know enough about you know, American politics to know.
Right.
But my issue is not the fact that she's from a small town. My issue is the fact that she doesn't seem to be fit for the office. But anyway, okay, let's not spend all day because we've been.
I would say we can go over foreign affairs. I mean, you know, to be honest, I mean, Bill Clinton had been governor of Arkansas. You know, he had a lot of foreign policy experience before he, you know.
No, hey, listen, that's why I say that when you actually hear from someone like this, you pay attention to what they say and if they can have an intelligent discourse.
Right.
And when you hear what Palin has to say on the various interviews that she did, you get very concerned. And the debate wasn't necessarily bad. It was medium, but her, you know, her standard was that she wouldn't have a meltdown and then she would have done okay. And she did okay. I'm not saying that she didn't. Right. But everything apart from the debate was very a big concern to, you know, like the interview with Katie Couric. Did you see the moment when she asked her what newspaper she would read on a regular basis or what magazine? She was like,
I think that had a lot to do with her handling at the time, too, is that, that they were, because you got to look at it, too, at the point, like, you know, like Obama, what kind of foreign policy experience does he have? You know, very little. But he has had months and, you know, he's had the last like 2 years, you know, he ever since he started his campaign, he's had that much time to be coached up on these things and to speak on it and things like that. He's had a lot more practice at it. And, you know, and she was kind of, you know, basically thrown into the breach. So it's been nothing but catch up for her.
So you don't think that Obama would have an easier time understanding these issues and reflecting on them?
Given the time constraint, given the same kind of time constraint, like from August, you know.
You don't think he was speaking better when he started running?
Well, he didn't, you know, he, like I said, he's had a lot more time to practice this and to...
I can't really agree with that, Brian, because you, when you say he's had a lot more time, you can go back to the idea that, yes, he was studying in, when he was a student, he was reading newspaper and educating himself. And yeah, sure, in that respect.
I'm speaking as when he started in the Senate or when he started his campaign, he's had more time. He's had coaches and handlers,
You think it's media training?
I wasn't talking about his education per se. I was talking about that he's had time to absorb a lot of material because it is a lot to absorb. You know,
so you think it's media training more than actual capacity?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe so. I think for most candidates, that they go through that they're gonna get coached and
it will help a lot. I agree, but
well, that's what happened with Clinton. I mean, that's how he got through it. Hmm. You know, he had coaches. I mean, come on, he's from Arkansas. You know,
how did... come on, nothing good ever came from Arkansas. Right?
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, he was governor in Arkansas, and he didn't have any foreign policy experience at all. And he had time to build up to it. You know.
Okay, I would disagree with
had people with him and everything like that. So
I would disagree with the premise that I think it's not just that. But okay, let me give you a chance to speak more freely without us interrupting you about the.
You guys have been
talk about the sketch on Saturday Night Live that we even heard about in France, where Palin went on Saturday Night Live, which, for people who don't know about it, is a comedy show, very famous comedy show with a very liberal bias. And she went on the show and did a little skit. She didn't speak a lot, but she was a good sport. Turkey, did you hear about it in Saudi Arabia?
I don't believe in Saudi Arabia. I heard about it personally. I don't believe it's so in common in Saudi Arabia.
I was surprised that we even mentioned it in France. But I guess it made the trip over the pond too.
Oh, really?
We had a few political commentators who frankly didn't really understand why she even went. Because it's not, it might have given her a more... it was like she knows she can handle it, like humor, but they really railed on her. Like they were said everything that they were saying before, and she was standing there and not saying everything and smiling and dancing, which I don't think it would have been good for her. But how did you see it, Brian? Or
oh yeah, I saw it. I thought it was hilarious. I liked it. And I mean, it was funny. I mean, I didn't see, and I thought they were skewering both sides of it, because Tina Fey has been portraying her, which she's doing a great job doing, and the whole show, and then you had Alec Baldwin, who is a well-known liberal actor, and he was talking to the producer of the show, you know, how can you send Tina up next to that awful woman? She's terrible. And then, you know, and he thought Palin was standing there and thought that was Tina. And then, he's told that that's really, Governor Palin. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. He goes, and then he adds, he goes, you're much hotter in person.
Yeah, it was funny. I think it was funny too, but I just didn't think it did her any good. But maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I thought it was funny. You know, I thought for what it was. And, you know, the other candidates have gone on there. You know, Obama's been on there. Mm-hmm. Clinton was on there. And, you know, so.
Okay. Cool. So let's now get on to the next topic. I guess before we leave the election, I'm going to do a little prediction for the election. If Obama is elected. I don't know that he will be elected. He seems to be winning at the moment, but you can never tell. But if he is elected, I think that what is going to happen is that a lot of Republicans are going to admit that Palin was a horrible choice for McCain, and that made him lose the election. Of course, they're not saying that now, but I think they will.
Well, some notable Republicans have been saying that. Well, I've already said that. Already,
I think that a lot of them will. If he wins, and I also think that it's going to change the image of the U.S. in the world. It's going to be it's going to be a big F you to the people who say what they say about America. It's going to show and it's going to show the power of democracy and the power of the our system, and I say our system as a general Western system. And I think one example of that was the dinner that they had at, maybe SNL was one of them, the Saturday Night Live skit, and also the dinner they had at the roast that they did of each other, Obama and McCain.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah, right.
Oh, God, I can't remember the name. I saw it on Larry King.
I can't remember, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
McCain was great on that. He was
he was pretty funny, yeah. I think Obama was pretty funny, too. They both were pretty good. And what was great about it was they were making fun of each other at a very, civil dinner. And they were everyone was having a good time. And they were poking fun at each other and saying, having fun about themselves, too. You know, that's the kind of thing that our way of life makes possible, and that our democracies and our the way we do things, that's not something that could happen at just anywhere, and that's the kind of thing that I like to remember the most about our countries. When we go at each other's throats, we're still we still have the system that works the best objectively, and that's a reminder of that. And I think that the election of Obama will actually show the world that, there is a difference between, no matter how, people are going to say, people already say, the U.S., they torture, they do the Patriot Act that deprives you of civil liberties and blah, blah, blah. And, well, you know what? It's not the same thing. So shut up is what I think the message that this is going to.
Well, I think you kind of brought up a good tagline for the Obama campaign: elect me and it will send a big F you to the rest of the world. He'd win hands down easily,
Well, I didn't say to the rest of the world, but to a certain part of the people who rail on the U.S. But Turkey, anything to add to that?
No, okay. I've been insulted enough.
I wasn't talking about you. I would never talk about anyone who would come on my show like that, even if I did talk about them before. Financial crisis. I guess we heard about it quite a bit here because Sarkozy, being the head of the EU, has laid out a plan that, at first we were making fun of the EU and him because, we couldn't speak in one voice about the financial crisis issues. And then I guess the EU came together and laid out a plan that got the approval not only of the whole of Europe, most of Europe, but also rallied the most of Asia and also the U.S. apparently, although Bush seems a little bit lukewarm, he's still going to, you know, he said that he was standing behind the plan and going to discuss it on November 15th. So it seems that Europe is taking the lead here. How weird is that?
I only have one word. Okay. Gold standard.
You don't trust anyone, do you? The 70s?
Gold standard. We need to go back to the gold standard and stop all of this inflation and all of this imaginary money.
Well, I would actually, I don't think I would disagree completely. I would need to hear more about it, but you know, it does seem like...
Can't go back to gold standard.
Of course you can't. Of course you can't. But, I mean, there is an argument to be made that the stock market is, you know, it's speculation. When you say it's speculation, you're like, oh yeah, you're at the stock market. Speculation is like betting on something completely ethereal. It doesn't exist. It's like so flaky that it leads to things like this. The stock market is like the lottery.
Yeah, well, certain parts of it, yeah, like the credit default swaps deals that were going on, that was one of the big, that was a big problem. You know, they weren't regulated at all. And there was no transparency, and that contributed to a lot of this, too.
Do you think that you're a Republican, so do you think we need to regulate you know, capitalism?
You know, yeah, to a certain degree, of course. You know, a free market person, but, you know, there are, you need to have a little bit of, there has to be a little bit of reins. Somebody has to be able to come in and, you know, pull the horse back and, you know, get it, you know, when it starts running away. I mean, you can't just let it go and, you know, there has to be a certain amount of, you know, you know, and I know a lot of people said, you know, there's been no regulations under Bush. Well, he's actually put in more, like the Sarbanes-Oxley Act was put in while he was in after the Arthur Anderson and Enron debacles. But there were other points of the market, like the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. You know, a lot of Republicans pointed that and have been wanting regulation of those entities. And I know because I read the Wall Street Journal, and I know for years they've been hitting on Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. You know,
I think McCain even said at one point that we needed regulation for that, and no one listened to him. Yeah,
and nothing ever came of it. And then you had a lot of prominent Democrats, notably Barney Frank in the House and Christopher Dodd in the Senate, that would consistently block any acts on there. You know, to at least put something on Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, because you know they were saying that this could turn into a problem. You know,
so have you heard about this whole movement that Sarkozy is spearheading now that wants to reform capitalism in the Western culture?
Right. I heard about Bush's response to it, and you know. Of course, Bush, you know, he's going to be kind of wait and see. And, you know, and then to be honest, there's only so much he can do being a lame duck president. But I think, yeah, I mean, I think having a discussion about it is going to be good. But whatever is going to come out of it, I don't know. Because, you know, what kind of reins, you know, I'd be honest. I would be reticent, you know, whatever, you know. The French idea of regulation is, I'd have to look at it pretty good before I'd consider it.
So you would have a worry that the effort being spearheaded by Europe would go a little bit too far to the left.
Maybe a little bit, but I know, well, Europe is the European banks and have responded well to the crisis. It seems, because I've been listening to the BBC lately too.
All we did was that the government poured money into the private banks. That's
right.
Of course, we're going to do that, right? We're socialists.
right. So, well, like I said, we did it. We did. Well, not exactly the same thing, but nearly the same thing. That's for sure.
Did that story of the big meeting on the 15th actually manage to get out even in the midst of the election, or do people not really care?
I'd probably be one of the only people that really knew that Sarkozy said anything.
Okay. Turkey, how did it go in Saudi Arabia?
Lots of talk. We're just looking for action.
So are you like taking part in the, I don't even know, but are you taking part in the talks that are happening now, or?
Well, to be honest, we're only affected from the fact that we import stuff. Otherwise, our economy is stable.
And
our banks
are
very, very stable. We don't have any problems with our banks.
Sure. Well, who's going to mess with the people who have all the oil, right?
don't give out so much loans like everybody else.
Yeah. And by the way,
what about the drop in the oil price lately?
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. You know, we were talking about this a couple of shows
ago. We're angry about that.
Yeah. You know, I just want to mention this for the people who don't know. A couple of months ago, we were saying that the oil prices had risen to like $140 a barrel. And we were saying that all the analysts were predicting $200, maybe $250 by the end of the year. And everyone was saying, wow, this is, you know, the end of the world. What's going to happen? We're not going to be able to make our cars run. And everyone was agreeing that the prices were going to keep going up. And now, here we are 2 months later with prices having been slashed in two. The barrel is at about $70 roughly. And no one in the world predicted that. So what does that say about analysts? What does that say about the way we can predict the market, how the market is going to go too, and the stock market in general? I mean, I know the oil is not the stock market, but, you know, it's a trade commodity. And, of course, we know that it's going to go back up at some point, and it's probably going to keep rising after that. But I think it's so insane that we didn't see the rise coming, really, and we didn't see that price cut coming. It drives me insane, but...
Well, yeah, the price rise, I think people saw it, you know, although no one was
prepared for it. That's sure
no,
as
can
be.
No, of course not, yeah.
Welcome to the world of free market.
So you guys were unhappy about the fall of the prices? I can imagine that.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia, the OPEC just cut 1.5 million barrels a day.
You reduce the production so that the prices go back up.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia wants the price to be balanced. They think a balanced acceptable price is $80 a barrel.
Well, it was funny after they announced that production cut that the price of per barrel, I think, went down to 65.
Yeah.
It didn't go up. It actually went down. It was kind of funny, you know.
Yeah. I wonder what's going to happen when we're actually going to be out of oil. And maybe that's what's happening. Maybe people are thinking, you know what, even if we start buying oil now, it's not going to be here forever. So we need to get used to the idea that we don't have oil anymore. Maybe after all.
All right, exactly. And that's exactly what every American is thinking about. I lived in the States, and trust me, nobody is even thinking about that.
That's not actually true. I mean, they were saying that the number of miles that Americans drive has gone down precipitously this year in the first 10 months.
Which is why
because the oil prices were high.
Down.
That's the reason.
Right, right.
Well,
so,
which
but
is,
I mean, reduced usage, though, you know, people are like, oh, you know, I got to cut back or whatever, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Which is what my point was. If you know, the usage was reduced dramatically in the past few months, and the Americans are, you know, when the prices were at $4, they woke up and they were like, oh, wait, I need to use less gas.
Wait a second. Americans did not wake up at 4. They started to wake up at 4.
Okay,
They should have reached 5 before they woke up.
The point is, they might have realized that maybe they should use less gas. And my initial reaction was, now that the prices are going back down, you know, they're going to start buying lots of gas again. And maybe they didn't, or maybe they won't.
Yeah, I'm buying that Humvee now, so, you know.
You are? Seriously?
You just wait. You'll see the SUV market's going to start skyrocketing all over again.
Brian, I'm not sure about that, to be honest.
Yeah, what's your feeling on the ground? Brian is on the ground in Vegas. He can tell us exactly how people feel about, like, have the prices gone down already? And do
actually,
people
right now, I can get it for $3 a gallon.
So do you think that people are going to start driving more again, or are they still cautious?
I think people are going to wait.
Brian lives in Las Vegas. He's not a reliable source. Everybody there is either visiting, doesn't have a car, or is rich and they have Hummers.
Yeah, all right. No, we have to drive here. This is probably one of the best places to ask because, you know, our public transport is not that great. It's good on the Strip. You know what the hotels are, but for the rest of us, we have to drive everywhere. So yeah. You know, it was kind of like, wow, you know, it was getting expensive.
So you do think that something was awakened in the American psyche about oil?
I think so. I don't think people are going to run out and buy SUVs now. I think they're going to wait and see what's going to happen, because even still with the gas down, you know, other things are going on, other problems. So I don't think they're going to run out just yet. And, well, you know, so
I
think that tide has kind of made a turn. I think people's psyches have already kind of made that turn that, yeah, you know, I just can't go all out and get, you know, the big V8, that, you know, the Humvee, something just a little more reasonable just in case prices go back up.
And they will. But
right.
I guess for Turkey's sake, I hope you are wrong. And for the rest of us' sake, I hope you're right.
come on. We are all on the same boat. Trust me. We just want a reasonable price. $150 is too much. We don't want it $150. $50 is too low. We don't want $50. $80 is reasonable.
Dude, that's not what I want. What I want is like electric cars and solar panels and windmills to be efficient. And to
who
get
cares
us
about those things? You need gas. You need a lot of oil, man. Come on.
That's what I'm saying. We're not on the same page. You know, actually, France has been off coal energy for electricity for a while. I think 80% of our electricity.
Yeah, you're all nuclear. Yeah.
Yeah, we're all nuclear.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Which is...
I actually believe it or not.
Coal for electrical production.
I'm sorry?
Yeah. Saudi Arabia had they opened a large research center for alternative energy, and they just put in it a few million dollars.
Really? How ironic. Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess when you say we're all on the same boat, we certainly are on the long term, of course, yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
And we do have one of the best sources of energy here, a lot of it.
Sun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Same here.
You know, the day that sun, yeah, exactly, in the U.S. too. It's us in Europe who are going to be screwed. It's raining
all
the time.
You need something that can harness power from rain. Then you'd be golden.
That would be good. Well, you know, actually, nuclear fission, I think, works with hydrogen, doesn't it? So, I mean, H2O. Anyway, maybe not.
Talking about hydrogen, I read that last week. Some scientists, I think it was in South Korea, who found a way to produce hydrogen that is, I think, 40 times less expensive than the current technique.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they're waiting for. That's the big thing, you know.
Well, it will come, and one day, like in 20 years, we'll all be looking back on this time and laugh at our being so worried. We'll think, didn't we know that we were going to find like little beetles in Antarctica that can crap out energy when eating snow?
Well, hey, did you see the thing that the Russian Russians found it first, but American scientists, they did experiments on scotch tape in a vacuum.
Oh yeah, producing
Produces X-rays.
Yeah. Scotch tape producing X-rays. I'm telling you, my beetle Antarctican beetle energy thing is not that far fetched.
Now, if only Americans would learn and stop making biofuel, then we're in heaven.
Well, you know, we have that problem here too. Biofuel.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the biofuel thing.
Biofuel is a horrible idea.
It's such a hoax. Anyway, you know what? That's probably a discussion we should have next time because we're already an hour in. So let's move on to our local stories. Okay, so who wants to go first? One or two stories, maybe one. Okay, go ahead, Brian.
I was looking for a story, and I thought you guys especially might appreciate this. There's a topless club here in Vegas that is going to sponsor a Sarah Palin lookalike contest. They're advertising it nationally, and the first prize is a trip to Washington, D.C. on Inauguration Day.
Oh, wow.
I believe I read somewhere that there's also a porn company that's making a porn show.
Oh, it doesn't surprise.
I think they already made it, yeah.
I remember reading something about them posting an ad on Craigslist looking for lookalikes.
Oh, that's sort of funny, but at the same time, I think it's sad. For all the things I think of Palin, I mean, I can't really appreciate that. I don't like it. I don't like it. Politics are a serious thing, and I understand that things are going to happen like this, but I still think it's not a good thing. But it's very funny, though. Do you have something else?
There's a national story here, actually, in Vegas that originated here. We had a little boy got kidnapped at his house. Two Mexican drug cartel guys posing as police kidnapped the kid and tied up his dad. And took off with the kid, and it was like a big search for it. And turns out they kidnapped the kid because the grandfather of the kid stole millions of dollars from the cartel, so they were kind of wanting to get it back. So
what? Wow. So they had a good reason for kidnapping the kid, basically.
Well, I guess. No.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, it was the kid's kidnapping. Fault.
You know. I was kidding. I was making a joke. It's French humor. You guys don't get it.
But if you say so, I'm not sure about that.
So you get I get offended by the Palin stripper, you get offended by my kid kidnapping joke. We'll have time. I think Brian should get offended by the next story. Okay. But I didn't hear about this at all. Has that been like a big story? Again, the political race is.
It was for like 2 to 3 days. You know, it was up, and you know, because you know, some little kid got pulled out of his house. You know, it's sure. You know, kind of the little nightmare, you know, type thing. But they actually caught him. They caught up the people downtown here, and the kid's okay. He's back with his dad now, and okay. You know, so everything came out all right. Plus, you know, Las Vegas is like the America's most wanted headquarters. So
that's not a legend. Like, it's actually true.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean,
if you're in trouble, you go to Vegas.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. I really believe every time I watch America's Most Wanted, they're catching somebody in Vegas. You know, I almost sometimes expect to see the cameras outside my window. I'm like, what? You know,
hey, and Vegas is a great place to work. Just go and watch Las Vegas, the movie, Vegas, the TV series.
Oh yeah, I like it. I really like it. I think we even discussed it when I was there with you, Brian. You work in security and you worked in a big hotel. I don't know if you can say the name, but anyway, it doesn't really matter. It's a big hotel. And you told me how ridiculous the whole thing was on TV. When it, you know, it's often the case they have.
Oh, are you telling me that's not all true?
No.
I love the way you described the safe.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, everyone like the whole big thing. People always ask about the Ocean's 13, the big safe in the Ocean's 13, the big vault, and all that stuff. And I was like, no, it's much more mundane than people would think, and it's not nearly as high tech as you think it is. You know,
how about the original Ocean's 11?
Who cares?
That one's
about
probably
that?
A little more realistic. I don't know.
It's like two doors with one guy standing by, going smoking a cigarette, going, "So who are you?"
Yeah.
Have ID. Okay, Turkey, your turn.
My turn. Let's see. Well, there's a story about a judge in Saudi Arabia who annulled the marriage for a 14-year-old to a 70-year-old man.
Huh. Was that... So, how did they get married in the first place? Is that a common thing?
Yeah, this is a very common problem right now in Saudi Arabia, because there's no age limit for marriage in Saudi Arabia. So by law, they can get married at any age.
Hmm.
And apparently this girl was forced by her father to marry the 70-year-old, and she's only 14. And she ran away. Her parents were divorced. She ran away to her mother, and her mother took her to court, and the judge annulled their marriage. What's interesting about this is we have similar cases in different courts in Saudi Arabia. They're all still hanging. No judgment was passed. However, this court immediately passed the judgment, declaring that the girl was forced, so the marriage is annulled. And what's unique is this judge is a Shiite judge, not a Sunni.
Hmm.
Because this case happened in the Shiite region of Saudi Arabia, and he's basically, I think he's the only or one of two Shiite judges in the entire country.
Hmm. Oh, that mustn't have gone well.
So I'm really wondering whether what's going to happen, if they're going to keep quiet about it, or is it are they going to start attacking this judge? So
can they reverse the judgment, or?
I don't believe so. No. Since it's a Shiite court, people go to there willingly to that court. So that whatever judgment is, they're forced to follow it.
But you know, I don't really understand how he would judge that this wasn't, you know, he could annul the marriage, since I'm guessing pretty much every kid who's 14 or 13 or whatever, who was married to a very old man, would argue that they didn't agree to the marriage. So every case like that could be annulled. What was different about this one?
Well, actually, every case should be annulled, because part of the marriage law is for the woman or the female, the wife, to have approved the marriage.
Sure.
So if she said she did not approve, because she did run away from her father, and she said her father threatened her, and she was forced to marry because of her father threatening her life.
Hmm.
They never consummated the marriage anyway.
They basically the judge just upheld the law.
Yeah, basically he did uphold the law. So that's one story. The other story, the biggest story right now in Saudi Arabia, is finally Saudi Arabia is starting to prosecute all the terrorists they caught during the last few years.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
I didn't hear about this.
We have 991 terrorists in court right now.
So why were they not prosecuted before?
Well, different reasons. Basically, it's for security reasons. They waited until they get the entire terrorist group. Like, they will catch one person. He's from a cell. There's still 10 people running around. They use him for information and so on. So basically, it's for information. They keep them until they're sure they got the entire cell, and they know they can't get any more information out of them. So, yeah, that's basically it. And then they had this movement in Saudi Arabia, which is supported by the government, supported by religious people, where they tried to convince these terrorists, especially those who did not commit terrorist acts, but had the terrorist belief system, convince them that their belief in their path is wrong, and ask them to find the right path. And if they do decide, declare that terrorism is the wrong way, they let them go free.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yes. So these are the leftovers of those who refuse to follow, and those who actually committed terrorist acts and ended up killing people.
Wow. That's very strange that in a country that could, you know, give you lashes, whiplashes for, you know, whatever, if you are a terrorist, if you haven't done any, although, well, I guess if you haven't done anything yet, you can't really be prosecuted for thinking that, you know, all infidels should die. If you haven't done anything, we can't really put you in prison. So if you say, well, I was wrong, actually, infidels are cool, I can understand that they could.
They don't say infidels are cool. Yeah, they just say, I imagine, we don't go kill them.
Yeah.
Did they make them pay blood money before they let them go, or they just?
The blood money is going to be for those who killed. Okay. They will not be allowed to be freed until they pay blood money, and most likely they won't be able to pay blood money because terrorists, we have in the Islamic system, we actually have the word terrorist in the Quran. So oh, really? Basically, yeah, if you're a terrorist, terrorism is punishable by death and by crucifixion for 3 days.
Really? Wow. That's in the Quran? Yeah. Like it's a part of the Islamic law?
Yeah, that is part of the Quran, terrorist. And basically terrorism is whoever kills people for no good reason and whoever puts fear in people and does that on a regular basis. So,
wow.
So those, and there's no blood money in those because they didn't kill one person or two person, because they killed more than one person. Okay. The family of the dead don't have the power to forgive them anymore.
Hmm. Oh,
okay.
Wow.
So you're expecting a lot of beheadings?
Well, I hope so, yeah. I'm a big supporter of capital punishment, and I actually hope they behead him. I think it's too late. It's too late that they're doing it now. If they started beheading a long time ago, I think we would have less problems.
I don't know. Maybe. I'm not a big fan of
value, I guess.
I can't really hear you very well, Brian. Can you speak up?
Quite the deterrent value.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan of capital punishment, as are my countrymen.
I can understand that, as long as you don't come and tell us how to punish our people. So.
Oh, I do. You can do whatever you want. You guys have the oil. You can do whatever you want. I'll say you're cool.
Personally, I don't really support capital punishment in general. However, I do believe the people have the right. If someone kills my father, I have the right to decide whether this person should be punished by death or not, the killer, because it was my father and I have that right. I don't believe anybody or the government have the right to tell me whether this guy can go to die or not.
Sure. I can understand the reasoning. I also think, well, first of all, you are indeed sort of a Republican, it seems. And second of all, that's exactly the reason why we don't let the people who got hurt by the crime decide what the punishment should be. It's the reason why society decides for you, because you don't make rational decisions when that happens to you. But
they don't decide immediately. Come on, if they can't make a rational decision, it's their right. Because if you think about it, and maybe you had time to things to change a little, and you still have this problem, but maybe it's less in Europe, way less than here. If you don't punish them by death, if these people go out, the family of the dead person are going to go after them and kill them anyway. Then you have this huge problem of people killing each other in the streets.
I don't think that's the way it happens in our streets, but...
I know a few cases that happened in France where people were freed. Hey, I know one case in Spain that happened while I was there. A rapist got out of prison, and the mother of the girl who was raped went, attacked him, and put boiling water all over him and burned him to death.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, yeah, sure, that wouldn't have happened if he had been beheaded in the first place.
Exactly.
I don't think in that, well, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very, you know, capital punishment is a very heated debate that we can have another time. Again, so many things we have to talk about.
And, oh, definitely.
Yeah, I'm sure it would be very interesting, but we don't really have time to do that now. So let's move on to the stories from France. a couple of stories that I knew about. The first one would be the affair and the scandal of Dominique Strauss-Kahn, who is the French national who became president of the International Money Fund. Is that the way you call it? International Monetary Fund?
Monetary Fund, yeah.
Yes. Last year, I think. And he had an affair, and apparently the person he had an affair with, you know, he had an affair in true French fashion, womanizer.
Say, a Frenchman had an affair?
Oh. Yeah, that's incredible, right?
I don't get it. I was wondering, that's a scandal in France?
No. Wait. The actual scandal was the fact that he favored the girl he had an affair with in her work. She was working there.
I thought there was something strange about the whole thing.
Yeah. we wouldn't care.
Because I thought that according to French law, each man has to have a mistress plus his wife.
Well, I don't know about that.
That's true, isn't it? That's what I thought.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's in the Constitution. It's one of, you know, our Bill of Rights says. No, actually, we wouldn't have cared all that much if he had had just the affair. But first of all, it reflects badly on us that he would, promote the girl over, you know, when he had an affair with us. I don't think we're very happy about that. And the second thing is the fact that he is a very strong candidate for the next presidential election that will happen in 2012 for the Socialist Party. Sarkozy actually appointed him at the IMF as a sign of, you know, openness between parties. And if it's actually a big scandal, and if it turns out that he did, he didn't behave himself in an ethical manner, it might sink his chances for the election in 4 years, which would be, of course, a very big thing. So that was a big story. And his wife is called Anne Sinclair, and she's a big journalist. Sort of like had a show. I'm sorry?
I said, oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, she's sort of like, not so much anymore, but she was very big a few years ago. And she had a show that is almost like Larry King Live back in the day. But she forgave him. You know, for us, it's not that big a deal. As we said, she probably said, oh, you know what? While you were in the U.S., I was having fun here too. So, no, I'm kidding. Of course, she was very upset, but she apparently forgave him, as women do. And they probably shouldn't. but did you guys even hear about this? Because the IMF is in New York. So, yes. You know, it was a big story.
Yeah, I did read about it. I looked at it and saw that. I was like, oh, okay, you know. So, well, you know, they basically kind of forced Paul Wolfowitz out of the World Bank for similar allegations. Well, he wasn't having an affair; he was having a relationship. So, you know, but yeah. So, and the French were one of the big motivators, you know, big movers to kick him out of the World Bank for that. So, you know.
Because of the unethical conduct that happened afterwards, because he promoted the woman he was having a relationship with,
So, turnabout, fair play thing, I guess, you know.
Yeah, of course. I mean, if there's a commission investigating the matter, and if it turns out that it's true, he's going to be in big trouble, and so he should. You know, it's not like we're saying, oh, but come on, he's French. Turkey, I'm guessing that you guys, if you even heard of it, probably think he should be beheaded or something.
We just thought, oh, well, that's the French for you.
Well, maybe not the big head.
But is that like a big scandal for you guys, or do you not care?
If it the story itself?
Yeah.
No, we actually do believe in this country's constitution that each man has to have a mistress.
Multiple wives, right? Well, he's still
talking about the French.
Oh, okay. Okay, so let's move on to another piece of news that was the death of Sister Emmanuel. I just want to mention it. She was sort of like a Mother Teresa for France. And she died a few days ago, and that was a really big story. I'm guessing you didn't hear about it. It's not that big a deal internationally. But the other thing that's coming up tonight, actually, is the daylight saving time, which everyone is, you know, every year when we switch from summertime to wintertime and vice versa, the country gets, you know, completely nuts and like, oh, I'm going to be completely, you know, my rhythm is going to be challenged because of this 1 hour change in at night. And come on, seriously.
Is it really that big a deal?
Well, maybe not that big a deal. I'm making it to be a bigger deal than it is, but it definitely...
See, that's why we don't have it in Saudi.
Well, I don't know. I kind of like it, but does it happen in the whole U.S. too?
Yeah, well, they do it on Sunday, so...
Not the entire U.S.
Oh, just some states?
With the exception of Arizona.
There are states, and there's also towns.
What?
Within states.
Yeah.
Like, some towns have a different time than the town next to it?
Yes.
Yeah, there's some in there. I don't know which ones, but I know Arizona does not subscribe to daylight savings time, and I couldn't for the life tell you why. It saves energy, you know, it saves money, so it doesn't make sense to me. But
yeah, but then it's
their problem.
It's dark earlier outside. That sucks.
I don't know.
Okay, I guess no one cares about this. So I think we are done with our local stories.
No. Sarkozy.
Oh, right.
The voodoo doll.
Well, actually, I was in Arizona where they don't have daylight savings for the past 10 days, roughly. I mean, week. And that was a few days ago. So I didn't really hear about it, but when you guys talked about it before, I researched it a little bit, and what happened apparently was that a company started selling paper voodoo dolls with the heads of Ségolène Royal, who was the nominee for the presidential election for the Socialist Party last year, and President Sarkozy, with pins that you could pin in their, you know, bodies and stuff. And they started selling those on the internet. So what happened was that President Sarkozy got sort of upset with this and sued. So now they had to take the dolls away from, what was it? Either now or they are going to have to stop selling the dolls pretty soon. It went really fast, and that's what's gonna happen. There were quotes on the doll with the blunders that he made or the things that people didn't like that he said, and the same thing for Royal. So that's the story. I'm guessing you guys heard of it because you're the ones who talked about it to me. I didn't even hear of it. I guess it wasn't that huge a deal in France. Maybe I'm wrong, but was it a big deal for you guys?
No. I just happened to pick it up. I was looking at these, the little interesting news stories, and I saw that. I was like, oh, that's interesting. I was kind of interested too because that as a public figure, I thought he would have been, fair game for that kind of thing.
Yeah. Sure.
Maybe for us it wasn't a big deal, but it was a big deal in the media.
Really?
Yeah, it was on CNN, the first page of CNN.com. It was all over the Arabic news channels.
Well, you know what? Maybe it was a big deal in France, really? And I just wasn't here, so I don't know. But I will say, though, that Royal, the socialist nominee for last year, chose to not pursue the matter. And I think, honestly... that's the right thing to do. That's ridiculous. Are you gonna sue them? Seriously? I mean, come on. I've heard people tell me that I praise Sarkozy too much, and yeah, I've heard that from several people. Maybe I just don't want to be completely I say what I think, but here when I think that it's ridiculous, I will say it. That's first of all, you have better things to do, Nicholas. And second of all, even if you didn't, that's not one thing you should be doing. It's a waste of time, and it doesn't reflect well on you. It's ridiculous. It's
Patrick,
silly.
Go to CNN.com, the international website. You'll find Sarkozy on the top story, some place in the bottom of the list.
Well, and they should probably focus on something else.
He's got better things to do than worry about that.
Yeah. And by the way, I bought a comic when I was in the U.S. That was entitled Presidential Material. It was a flip book where you had one side the story of Barack Obama and the other side the story of John McCain. And I bought it as a joke. I thought it was going to be, you know, oh, look at those silly people. They even make comics about their presidential nominees. And, you know, first of all, that voodoo doll thing just sort of makes my whole point silly. And second of all, that comic was actually really good. I read it and I heard, I'm honest, I mean, I learned more about the two candidates in like 40 minutes reading that thing than I did watching TV and reading the websites for 6 months. So there you go. It was actually cool. a good thing. Okay. That's going to be it for our local news section, and let's conclude the show with our last section called And Now for Something Completely Different. So, I have a story. Maybe we're just going to do one. Turkey, was yours really good, or should I do mine?
I don't know about yours. You can go with yours.
Okay, you know what? I'll give you mine, and if you think it can be the end of the show, you don't tell yours, and if you think yours is better, you'll tell it too. So mine actually happened when I was in Arizona with Nicole and Mark, who are my friends whose house I was staying at. They told me about a story from a cop who stopped a woman for being in the carpool lane, where you're supposed to go only when you have at least two people in the car to go faster and save energy. And so the cop arrested the woman because she was alone in the car. So she stops, she goes to the side of the road, and gets out of the car, or at least tells the officer that she is pregnant. So she is, you know, two people. So she should be allowed to be in the carpool lane, which is obviously ridiculous. And, you know, I was thinking, well, that story is going to go towards, you know, is the unborn child a person? It's going to go to court, and it's going to, you know, it's going to become a whole story. I'm sorry?
Was she blonde?
I don't know that part of the story, but it's very possible and even likely. Of course.
Well, she's going to have to hope for a Republican or conservative judge to be on her case for that one.
Actually, the really funny part of that story is the fact that it didn't even go that far, of course. It could have been a real story and like a real legal story, but it didn't. Because the cop said, well, you know what? In that case, if you are indeed two people, I'm going to have to arrest you for having two people in the driver's seat. So,
smart cop.
So that's really not what I expected.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's good.
Isn't he? I thought that was pretty priceless. That was a very good story.
There's no child restraint, too. So.
Yeah, exactly. Turkey, what do you think? Should you go with yours?
No, yours is great.
Okay, so I guess that's going to be the end of our show. Before we leave, I want to thank again Turkey for coming on the show. Of course, Turkey is the writer of SaudiLife.net, which is the blog written straight from Saudi Arabia, and the host of a Saudi Life podcast. And you can find all this at his webpage, SaudiLife.net. Anything you want to add, Turkey?
Oh, that's all. Thank you very much.
And I also want to thank, of course, Brian for enduring our mockery and our picking on him. I hope it wasn't too hard. I'm really glad.
No, I had a great time. Thank you very much. I had a great time. You guys were great.
He'll never be back. He'll never be back.
Well, I hope you come back at some point, because we definitely
I'll be back more, if you'll have me.
I'll definitely invite you back at some point. I really want to. You know, I'm not kidding when I'm saying I want to have diversity of opinion on this show, and you definitely provided us with that today. So I'll be glad to have you back at one point. Is there anything you want to pimp? You want us to talk about? Are you on Twitter, or do you want to promote your company?
No, I was gonna say, right now I'm going to be looking for a life-size poster of Sarah Palin, and I'm going to send it to you, Patrick. So
good. Well, you go do that. Of course, you can follow Turkey on Twitter at Saudi, twitter.com/Saudi. You can follow me at twitter.com/notpatrick. Of course, you can find the web the webpage at thephileasclub.com. If you want to go and comment on the iTunes page, you can do that. And that's it for the show this month. We are going to see you again in 1 month with a new American president. That's going to be fun. Bye. Say bye, guys.
Bye.
Turkey? No? You're not going to say bye?
Bye. Had a phone call, sorry.
Oh, okay, that's why.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.